make it do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson.
Weaver looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Reading the throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Here we go, just 2 days away from the second preseason game. Nathan Zagora, the notorious VIC Vic Carucci, out in the Dog Bowl in Berea, and today is the last day of camp for the public to take it in, so you gotta get out here. 4 p.m. Eastern, the Browns take the field just 3 hours from now here at the wonderful training facility. And these practices, Vic, the last few days coming off the momentum-building first preseason game, I think have been as good as any we've seen all year. Continued yesterday. Notorious, give me some thoughts.
Yeah, I think we've seen it, and it has felt every day that you've been out there, you can feel the word, I guess, is energy, and you don't want to make that an overused word, but it definitely is the right word. And all the way through, players are talking about this. And what are we talking about? Now, the hitting level or whatever is not any different than what camps, what it's prescribed to be in training camps. We're not talking about that. But right, we are talking about, I think, a feeling that this team generates when it's out there each day that, A, these guys want to be out there, want to be getting ready for the season, and have a sense that there is something good going on around them and that they can build upon what they saw Thursday, but what they're seeing pretty much every day. When you talk to the players about the game itself, they don't really, and this is right, they don't really get too caught up into the details of what happened against the Rams. That's less important than the sense that on a regular basis that basically the preseason game becomes an extension of what they're doing on the field out here each day in Berea, right? And it feels right when you see the defense doing its thing we hear the questions about the secondary and we hear the issues of where the concerns are, but every day we see the defense generating pressure and making plays in the secondary. We see guys like Trevin Wade coming around and making plays. I saw him yesterday. That jumped out at me. Joe Hayden's been the man every day in practice. So while we could have that feeling of angst at corner and that feeling of angst at safety, and I'm not saying it's just a fan or media thing. I think even internally, talking to some of the coaches, hey, that's where we'd like to see this thing feel a little better to us, is their sense. But on the field, Nathan, we're seeing good stuff there. If that's an indicator, then there's probably more reason to feel good than concerned about what's going on with this team going forward.
Yeah, and as you noted in your Crew Chiefs Call blog on ClevelandBrowns.com, Trevin Wade, couple key breakups in a two-minute drill, including a fourth down matched up with Josh Gordon. And then what I liked when I watched him on tape, yes, he got beaten a little bit against St. Louis, but he did a very good job in zone coverage of making his read and coming up to get the pass catcher in space. The very first pass play of the game that the Rams ran last week was a similar situation where he dropped back. He had Austin deep in the zone, read the dump-off pass, came up, made a good open field tackle. And if Trevin Wade can start playing, listen, you're going to need four or five corners in this league. And I know that Hayden is number one in a class by himself. Buster Scream, Chris Owens, hopefully we'll get Leon McFadden back. But Trevin Wade has an opportunity, and he's playing very well at a time when he's being given the opportunity to step up and play in a role and with a group that he probably wouldn't have been able to had Owens and McFadden been on the field.
Right. And then to see Buster Scream continue what he's done. And we saw it again yesterday, and I think we've seen it throughout this camp, that he was, first of all, when Chris Owens was out of the lineup with that foot injury, you could see Buster Screen kind of step his game up and say, okay, I've got an opportunity here to really possibly secure this job. I don't know that he did. I think he took a lead that Owens had previously held. I also think that Owens kind of let go of it a little bit prior to the foot injury. And then the foot injury did open an opportunity. But now that Chris Owens is back, you could see Buster Screen realizing, hey, it's a competition. It's still on. And now we'll see if Owens is able to play Thursday against the Lions, what that's like. for the most part, you know as a veteran what he can do. You're not evaluating him the same way you would a younger guy, say like a Trevin Wade, or if a Leon McFadden were out there evaluating a rookie. But you are you know what you get, and you are trying to see, you know, what's this best combination to have a starter and then have somebody deal with the slot, somebody in that nickel role, which is a vital role in this secondary. The other thing I took from this practice, especially yesterday, but what I've been seeing over this whole tone thing that we're talking about, the energy and the level of engagement on the part of this team, is a sense of building of chemistry. And I wrote about this for ClevelandBrowns.com.
Yeah.
You know, standing on the sidelines, Nathan, and we get a great view being kind of right in the middle of the field, and you're watching things, but you're also hearing things. And I saw, for instance, Joe Haden to Sean Gibson walking after a play, and Gibson and asking Haden about a particular coverage, Haden giving him the details of what the assignments and roles were, and to Sean taking it in, and just the two of them kind of just talking it over technically, something you like to see. But it was a leadership moment, the fourth-year pro in Haden talking to the second-year guy in Gibson. And then they were both had taken a knee on the sideline. Chris Obanaya goes over to Barkevious Mingo, running back, fullback to outside linebacker, and what's Obanaya, I think a fifth-year guy, and he goes over to the rookie, Barkevious, and says and starts talking with him about blitzing and the protection and what he's doing from a fullback standpoint and what Mingo can do to kind of up his game and help himself. Now, think about this. This is still a very competitive situation for Chris Obanaya. I don't know that he's locked into anything, but he's certainly got a good handle, I think, on the fullback spot. But still, it's camp. It's competitive. You're being evaluated there, and he's giving some pointers to the rookie, you know, looking at it from a team perspective, where Mingo could do something to excel in practice that could theoretically make Obanaya look bad on a play, but that wasn't the important part. The important part for Obanaya was help make this kid better because it's going to make the team better. That's chemistry. That's the definition of it.
That is the definition of chemistry, and that reminds me of what Gerard said, Gerard Cherry, the third member of our team who will join us in the second hour on the telephone. He told us, role players need to know that they're role players and perform their roles adequately. Chris Obanaya is never going to be the franchise player for this Cleveland Browns team, but if he can perform his role very well and make other people around him better, he is a valuable asset and a valuable piece of a winning formula. And I think Chris Obanaya, with his willingness, this is a guy who played halfback, with his willingness to play fullback, to get up in there, mix it up, and know that that's the way that he can best help this team and make this team, and then to coach up a guy like Barkevious Mingo, who he will see in some drills in pass right. protection, it just goes to show that that's the kind of guy you want on this team. And I think that epitomizes why Chris Obanaya's selflessness and his ability to put the team first, in addition to his skill and versatile skill set, is going to make him a very valuable piece of this team. Even though he's not going to be a headline getter or a stat sheet stuffer, he's still going to play a very important role.
Paul Kruger from the sidelines. The starters were out in a particular drill, and he's not most for the most part, guys are watching, kind of paying attention, but mostly getting a blow, just kind of to their knees usually and just kind of resting. He's kind of squatting and looking over and barking out some directions to the younger teammates there. This is a fifth-year guy. This is a guy fresh off of a Super Bowl championship with the Ravens. So seeing him assert himself a little more as a leader is a good thing. And I know for guys who are newcomers to the team, even though they've got some years, it's not as easy to do that. But you either have that intrinsically kind of built into yourself, it's in your DNA to do it, or it's not. And I think for Kruger, this is an interesting dynamic because he was so much in that shadow of Ray Lewis, of Ed Reed, sure. Of T. Sizzle, of right Terrell Suggs, of that Ravens team. He was underneath all those guys in terms of their presence, but he was very much a factor as a football player here. He knows he's more of a primary guy, should be, and it's first and foremost, it's how he plays, but I also think it's how he leads and what he can do to help in that area. I liked seeing that as well. I just think it's signs that, you know, we've discussed this with Gerard, too, from a player perspective, and we can bring it up again today when we talk with him. When you know it's starting to come together, when you know as a team that build is happening, because it's winning that usually drives it, the camaraderie, the bonding. but there's got to be a base for it. There's got to be a starting point for it. And I'm really sensing it. I'm not trying to overplay this at all, Nathan, but I'm sensing it through.
I like your perspective,
Vic. Right? The third, whatever it's been, 15 practices, yeah, and one preseason game. I don't know. I felt it yesterday.
I think when you talk to a lot of the players that have come on this show, and if you were to go back, and you can pull the archives off of ClevelandBrowns.com whenever you want and see the players, you get a sense that, you know, from the outside, the fans have proven it. The rating of the preseason game, highest of any market in the country. The record turnout at training camp. The record turnout for family night. There is a sense that things are different and that it's not the same old Browns. And I believe you get that from the players, which to me is the most important factor of all. The players feel like this is not the same situation we've gone through. Right. They have bought into this coaching staff. There are three head coach worthy people on this roster with Chudzinski and the offensive coordinators that he chose with Norv Turner and Ray Horton. Again, showing his leadership and his ability to be comfortable with guys with that much tenure and that much clout coming in as his coordinators. And it's just a sense that things are different. And for a guy like Paul Kruger, who comes off of the team that just won the Super Bowl, a team in the same division that has been one of the dominant teams in the AFC North, to have him come in and be able to teach these younger players about not only how it is to play their position, but what it means to win and what it means to be a successful franchise and a successful team in the NFL year after year is invaluable. And you also hit the nail on the head with him. He felt, and I love this about him, disrespected. Despite the fact that he was on the Ravens, despite the fact that he had 2 sacks in the Super Bowl, he didn't feel like he played enough in the Super Bowl.
Right.
He felt disrespected in some way, even though he was an important piece of that Ravens team, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. I guarantee when the Browns play the Ravens, Paul Kruger is going to want to go out there and go bananas on that team. And to have him come in here and take the time not only to be, you know, focused on what he needs to do, but to be teaching and to be leading, because it's more just about technique, which he's excellent. We've talked about his great hands. It's more about just the leadership in terms of coaching people up. He brings the credibility of winning a Super Bowl in the National Football League to a team that needs somebody to teach them how to do that, and I think that is very invaluable.
And the interesting thing that you watch with a player like that, when he's gotten that big payday in free agency, it can make players do a lot of different things. And unfortunately, it can make them do the thing that you don't want them to do, which is, I got paid and I'm all set. And then the performance starts to nosedive. All that he worked for to get that payday in his contract year, to have that breakout year, which is so common in this sport and other sports where the contract year becomes a time of escalation for the player's performance, and then it all goes downhill sometimes after they get the money. And I don't see that with him. I see a guy who's hungry for the very reasons you stated in terms of proving something. And, it won't just be – I mean, it's great that would happen in the Ravens game, and it should in Baltimore, his first trip back there in another uniform, his homecoming, so to speak. But it's got to carry over to all the games, and it's carrying over to practice and the locker room. And a guy who just has to feel comfortable in his skin as someone who is prominent to this football team, prominent to its fortunes, and really – I don't want to overplay the sense of identity that he's the face of this defense right now. That might be saying a little too much because it's not quite that. I think it's really more Ray Horton and the scheme that defines what the defense is all about. But he's a key cog in it. And I don't think the Browns are really trying to tout any single guy, especially on the defensive side, as being that field tilter, that true difference maker. But I do think he will make a difference collectively because of how much better he could make, for instance, Jabal Sheard on the other side, how much better Barkevious Mingo can be because those two guys are out there. And then when you see combinations that involve the three of them and maybe even a Quinton Groves at time, those different looks that we're seeing, that's what's exciting too. And I think for Kruger's sake, he's excited to be a part of that. He knows what success is like. He knows what aggressive defense is like. And I think now that he's part of it here, under Horton, you can sense that, okay, this is my place. This is my thing. This will be my this is where I'll redefine myself as an NFL player.
And I love that. And we have much, much more to come here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The rest of this first hour, you're going to get a lot of me and Vic, sound from the head coach, sound from the players, talking about practice and talking about the way this team is, in fact, coming together. And then in hour number two, Gerard Cherry will join us, as well as Tom Withers from the Associated Press towards the bottom of the second hour. So lots to come, lots to talk about. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.